Amen. Greetings, brothers and sisters. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Yes. Amen. Well, it's really good to see so many faces, and I'm very encouraged that so many of you are together in different localities. I do hope that that would enrich your time together, especially in the group fellowship. Tonight is a kind of an introduction to the whole week. And I would like to, before getting into the very first lesson, which we will, I hope you have that ready. That's lesson one, God as revealed in the Bible is triune. I hope that you have that handy. But before that, I would like to give a kind of brief introduction concerning the Truth School itself. I know that many of you have been with us in the past, but I think it's always good to have a kind of refresher to understand what are we doing here? What is this? And also we have always quite a number who are with us for the first time. And I'd like for them to understand, how is this different than the conference that we do in the springtime and some things that we do in the fall and other events? You know, we call this the Summer School of the Truth, the Summer School of the Truth. And the main burden, is really summarized in this verse, because I'm here with no board, and I have my own board here. So please write this verse down. It doesn't appear on any outline, I think. But please write this verse down, or two verses. More accurately, it's the end of a verse and a full verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3b and 4. And that tells us that God desires, or the Savior God, I think it might even say our Savior God, desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. To the full knowledge of the truth. We are so happy that there are some here in this meeting who just got saved earlier in this year. I can see sprinkled here and there in some of the churches, some who are going to sixth grade, some going to seventh grade. You were just saved and baptized. And if we were all together, we'd like have you stand up right now. We'd have all of you stand up and you'd hear like a big cheer. And we'd probably, you know, hey, praise the Lord and welcome, because you are our new brothers and sisters. We want you to know that God desires all men to be saved. And so you took that step this year. You took that step. That's wonderful. But this is not the end. That is a beginning, because there's another part. God's desire is firstly that every man, every person would be saved, and then begin a lifelong journey to know, obtain the full knowledge of the truth. But what does that mean? What is the truth? And that's really what I want to convey in this brief fellowship. And so to help us with that, I want you to read these two verses. These are in the Gospel of John, John 8:32 and John 8:36. If you have a Bible with you, whether paper, electronic, I hope that you could open it right now. I'll give you a moment for that. If you have a Bible with you, let me tell you this. One thing that's different about the Truth School as opposed to the conferences that we have in the Truth School, we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to handle the Bible directly. We want you to engage the Word of God, to have direct contact with the Word of God. We want you to pay more attention to the Word of God than to our words even. And so we need you to read the Bible, read the word. Those of you who have been with us in the past, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on what? Memory verses. And the brothers will talk to you about that later. Memory verses. Why? Because this is the summer school of the truth. It's not the summer school of messages. It's not the summer school of what the brothers said. It's the summer school of the truth. And we want you to enter into a direct contact with the truth, which is the word of God. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So on one hand, the truth means the Bible, the word of God. But on the other hand, and now I want to read these two verses again. I'll put them up here again. If you have it, let's read them. Let's read them together if you have it there. Okay. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now jump down to 36. If therefore the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. So two verses that talk about being free. But what's the difference? In verse 32, it's the truth that sets you free. In verse 38, I gave you like a big hint here. Yeah, we're not trying to stump you. The Son sets you free. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Here, let me get my marker. What does that mean? That means that the truth equals the Son, and the Son equals the truth. And so what does that mean? And please write this down. Please write this phrase down. This means that the truth is a person. The truth is a person. But then you might say, but what about the truth being the Bible? So how do you connect these? How do you reconcile these? Okay, this is the point. Actually, truth is God. Truth is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Truth is the reality of God. You know, truth and reality are synonyms. And in the Bible, you'll see in some places says truth, in some places says reality. This word in the Greek, the language that most of the New Testament was written in, this word is aletheia or aletheia. And this can be translated as truth or reality. It could also be translated as truthfulness. But let's stick with these two, truth and reality. So what is truth? Okay, I'm going to give you a sentence. I hope you can catch this. Truth is the reality of the triune God himself, conveyed to us through the Bible, the Word of God. Did you get that? I'll try to repeat that. I don't know if I can say it exactly the same. What is truth? Truth is actually the reality of the triune God, the person of the triune God himself. I just added a phrase. I know that. Truth is the reality of the triune God, the person of God himself, conveyed to us through the Bible, through the Bible. So when you contact the Bible, you can get the person of God. That's what it's talking about in this verse. Most of you know this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. I'll give you a minute to kind of search in your memory bank there. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God breathed. That means God, when these scriptures were written, actually it was God exhaling, infusing himself into people. And they were inspired and they wrote. And somehow, and this is mysterious, somehow that inspiration, which is actually not a thing, not a feeling, but a person, the reality of God, is embodied in these words. And when we read this with our spirit, we get that same God. We get that same God. That's what the Summer School of Truth is for, to convey truth to you, that you would know God in reality. So two things are very important, and I would like you to write this down as well. Two things are very important when you come to these meetings. And these are the two: the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. Now, truth is the Word, the Summer School of Truth. You know, we could actually call this the Summer School of the Spirit. The Summer School of the Spirit. Because in every meeting, every point, actually every song, every verse, every exercise, every group, our goal is that you get more spirit. What is the spirit? The spirit is the reality of God himself. The reality of God himself. So to get something from every true school, you have to always do these two things before every meeting. Number one, you have to open your heart. You have to open your heart to the Word of God. Just like this story in Matthew 13, there's a parable. Actually, it's in other Gospels too, but in Matthew 13, the Lord likens himself to a farmer. And he came to the earth to sow seeds. And the seeds fell. You know this story, right? Seeds fell on four different types of ground, and there were four different kinds of results. Was it because the seed was different, the four different seeds? No. It was because the condition of the ground was different. Brothers and sisters, in that story, in that parable, the seed is the Word of God, and the ground is your heart and my heart, the human heart. And how effective the seed can be depends not just on the life in the seed, but on the condition of the soil. So we need to open our heart to the Word of God. Firstly, that no one, the birds would not come and snatch away the Word. You know that part of the story? Because the ground is hardened and the seed doesn't penetrate. Birds come and take away the seed. You know, that's like we you're in a meeting, and then the meeting's over, and we say, how was the meeting? And mostly we say, good. What was shared? And you're like, yeah, you can't remember. God? It was about God? Yeah, that's a good guess. Probably so. But bird snatched it away. Why? It could be your heart was distracted. Your heart was not in fully in the meeting. I hope even right now, would you say, Lord, I turn my heart to you. Wherever you are, again, if we were all together, I'd lead us to pray right now. Oh, Lord Jesus, I turn my heart to you. I open my heart to your Word. That's number one. But then number two is the matter of the Spirit. So I hope we all exercise our spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means from our innermost being, we just exercise to call out to God. Oh, Lord. Also, it means this: confess your sins. Because the conscience is the main part of our spirit. You know, our spirit has three parts or three functions. And the main part is our conscience. I hope we've all confessed our sins. And I hope before every meeting, you would, Lord, cleanse me of all my sins so there'd be no barrier between you and me, so that the Word can get in, so that I could touch you as the Spirit. Because we'll see in the coming messages, and again, this is just an introduction, in the coming messages, especially, I think tomorrow evening, we'll see this matter of the Spirit of reality, the life-giving Spirit, and in other messages later on in the week, that the Lord today, he is the Spirit, and as the Spirit of reality, this is one of his titles, he wants to guide us into reality. So this is how it works. You read this word gets something gets into you. then the spirit inside for your whole life is guiding you into the reality of what you read and you took in. That's our life as a Christian. Okay, that's my introduction. Now, with the remaining time, I'm going to cover outline number one. But outline one, actually, because we're online, our time for the sharing of the messages is going to be shorter, more concise, which is actually good for us, brothers, to exercise, to be concise. I want to present this like this. I'm going to give you five words. And I hope, again, wherever you are, maybe on your outline, just at the top here, you would write down the five words. Of course, if you're taking notes in a notebook, I mean, you could do it however you want. But if you just have the outline, maybe on the top right, how about you write down these five words? Okay, here's the first word. This is word number one. Are you ready? Okay, here goes. This is very simple. Okay, word number one is, one. Okay, word number one. Now, word number two is not going to be two. I'll get you ready, okay? But word number one is one. Okay, did you write that down? Yes, okay. Wait, I didn't see. Did you write it down? I'm looking. I need the faces in front. Okay. Thanks. Ty wrote it down. I got a thumbs up from Ty. Thank you, Ty. Okay. Sierra, did you write it down? I'm looking at Sierra. I didn't get it. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sierra. Okay. Mariah, did you write it? Okay. Word number two. Here goes. Purpose. Okay. Well, I got to keep them in order because I might do some kind of summary here later. Okay. Word number two. Okay. Word number three is love. Love. Got that? None? Word number four. Have you figured out where these words are coming from yet? Some of you have. Okay, word number four is life. Life, very simple. And the final word number five is triune. Oh, did I spell it right? Oh, yes, I did. Praise the Lord. Spelled it right. I'm looking at it backwards, so it threw me off. You know what I mean? Okay, triune. Okay. So you got the five words. Okay, now, again, if we were all together, I would just say, okay, sisters, please tell us the five words. Okay, I know we're not all together, but many of you are together, so I'm going to still ask you, okay? Cindy's going to take the lead for me. Okay, ready? Go. One, two, three, five words. Go. One. Go, Cindy.
One.
Amen.
Purpose.
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
And triune.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. For the five words for the brothers, Mariah is going to take the lead. Here he goes. I love that rainbow that shows God's faithfulness.
Amen.
Lord. Okay, go ahead, Mariah. Five words, go.
It's one.
Amen.
Purpose.
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
Triune.
Amen. This is the message. Okay, now, please go to the outline. Let's look at the outline. And you see, these are the main words of the five points of the outline. Okay, so please circle, highlight, or however you do it as we read through. I'm going to just read the five Roman numerals without the subpoints right now. Okay, well, let's read the title. The title, God, as revealed in the Bible, is triune. And this actually matches lesson number one in our lesson book. I also hope that you have the lesson book handy. If you have one, we're going to read something from it in about 7 or 8 minutes. Okay, number one, Roman one. There is only one God in the universe. So please highlight the word one. One. God is very serious about this point. God, you know, we mentioned this to the juniors and seniors last week when we were at Penuel. We emphasized this point. I hope that they're still impressed with this. You know, our God, in some things, he's very broad. But in other things, he's very narrow. And we have to figure out in our lives, in what things is God broad? And in what things is he narrow? So that we're not narrow when God is broad and broad when God is narrow. We need to line ourselves up with God. And how can you even know that? How do you know? How do you even know that? Read the Bible. Oh, you know, I wanted to say this before, and the Lord just reminded me of this, I believe. You know, our God is all powerful. He's all knowing. But he knows that to the human being and the human mind, he is intangible. He realizes this. He knows that he's intangible and unapproachable. And there's even a verse in our Bible in 1 Timothy that talks about God dwelling in unapproachable light. But then we're going to see in these points, especially when we touch the matter of life, then how can he be our life if we can't even approach him? Life is something inside of us. Then how can that be? Actually, God knowing that to us, our limited mentality, he's intangible, he gave us the tangible Bible. The word makes God tangible. And through the word, we receive the eternal, invisible, previously intangible God. And he becomes real to us. He becomes real to us. Okay. God is narrow when it comes to this point of one. There is one God. And you have at least one memory verse. And the verses are here. Isaiah 45:5. One in the Old Testament and one in the New. 1 Corinthians 8:4. The Old Testament verse is Isaiah 45:5. You could read it. It's on the next page in your outline. It says, I am Jehovah, and there is no one else. Besides me, there is no God. I girded you, although you do not know me. The important part is the first two phrases. I am Jehovah, and there is no one else. Besides me, there is no God. And in 1 Corinthians 8:4, there's this phrase, there is no God but one. That's where we get the point from. There is no God but one. Can you say that wherever you are? Can we say that together? There is no God but one. Amen. Romans 2, our God has an eternal purpose. So please underline or highlight this word, purpose. And in the subpoints, I'm not going to get into the subpoints due to time, but maybe only point C, I will read in a moment. God, in Genesis 1:26, it tells us his purpose. That's why we have this verse listed here. That's your memory verses. And Ephesians 3 actually mentions this phrase, the eternal purpose of God. God has an eternal purpose. What is that purpose? That he might be expressed in this universe, because he's intangible. He wants a tangible expression and representation. And he gets this by dispensing himself into his creation. So I'm going to read point C. Point C says, God wants to take the way of life to accomplish his eternal purpose, which means he wants to dispense himself. This phrase, dispense himself, is going to be very important this week. Please take note of this word. Into us as life and everything, This is God's eternal economy. Okay, the brothers will tell us more about this. The third word is God is love. So please highlight and circle love. He is love. Actually, it's very interesting. He not only has this intention to be expressed, he could have created some being that just expresses him. And love would not be in the picture. Actually, that would be more like creating a robot that just does what you tell it to do. God did not create robots. He created human beings with mind, emotion, and will, which actually reflect him. You know, when it says we are in the image of God, that means a great part of that is that we have a mind, emotion, and will, just like God. And he has a soul, we have a soul. And the thing is, we don't always choose God. God wants to be chosen by you. God wants to be chosen by you. He wants to be loved by you. He doesn't want to be the only option. Then it wouldn't be out of love. Oh, brothers and sisters, God chose every one of us, every one of you, it says in Ephesians, before the foundation of the world. God in conceiving his purpose, somehow, we don't understand why, when he conceived his purpose, he thought about every one of us. And he said, I like that one. I like that one. And he chose us in love. He predestinated us in love. His purpose is a matter of love. And because he loves us, you know, when you love someone, you like to give them things. You think of their, maybe in their birthday, you want to give them something, or even not birthday. You like to give them things. Sometimes you're out, you think of someone, that person, I like to get this for them. They like this. And actually God, because he loves us, he wants to give us the best. So what is the best? Actually, nothing better than just he himself. So we come to the point four, life. He expresses his love by becoming our life, by coming into us. So very interesting. You know, in many religions, the thought of God is that he's out there, big, powerful. And our God is out there, big and powerful. But he doesn't want to remain that way. He wants to be so intimate with us. Actually, he wants to be our very life. He wants to come inside of us and be one with us. That's because he loves us. He wants to join himself to us. You know, in the Old Testament, there's this verse written by David, King David, when he was a shepherd boy before he was king. He says, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." And he says, "When I consider the stars and the hand, which are your handiwork, and the moon, what is man that you're mindful of him? Who am I? I'm so small, God. Why do you even bother with me?" Why? Because somehow God loves that small man, that little boy, that little girl. God loves you. The Lord loved me. The Lord came to me, wow, when I was 7. I was just a little boy. I didn't know anything. God manifested his love to me. And you know what happened that night? That night he manifested himself to me. He came into me to be my life. From that night, this week, Friday the 13th, is that right? Friday the 13th, yeah. I got saved on a Friday the 13th, July 13th, 1965. That was not an unlucky day for me. It was the luckiest day of my life. The Lord showed his love to me and came into me to be my life. He joined himself to this little boy. Well, I was a little boy. I know it's hard to believe, but I was a little boy. And he joined himself to me. And you know how he could do that? Point five. Circle that. Highlight that, triune. Did you highlight life in point four? Did you highlight triune? The only way that he could come into us to be our life is because he's triune, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the brothers will describe this and show this more. Triune means three, one. Well, look at the subpoints. We will read these subpoints. God is triune. A, triune means three, one. I know for some of the youngest ones, that's a new word. You may have heard it in the meetings, in the Lord's Table meeting. We have a lot of songs. We're going to sing a song now about the triune God. Triune means he's three, one. What is that now? What does that mean? Well, point B says God is triune. God is the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are one. This is his title. This is what he shows us in the Bible. This is, now I tell you, we can say something about this, but I can confess, we don't fully understand this. And I don't understand this. How can you be three and still be one God? Well, he is. That's why we had to invent this phrase. Not we, actually the church fathers long, long ago invented this phrase. Triune, three, one. He's the three, one God. And then point C says, in order for God to dispense himself into us, he must be triune. So you'll see in tomorrow's message in the afternoon, we cannot really fully explain how God is triune, but we found out why God is triune. And why is that? Because the one God has a purpose. And in this purpose to be expressed in humanity, he loves us so much that he wants to join himself as our life. And the only way to do that is by being triune. Now, as a kind of summary of what I just shared, I would like to read, if you have the lesson book, right? Lesson book on the triune God, please take it out if you have it with you. And I just want to read the first paragraph. And I hope as you're reading along, you could highlight some things. Actually, just look for these five words as we're reading through. Okay, here we go. So you're with me? Lesson one, first page, the triune God being a mystery. Under the text, Roman 1, God being only one, says, first, we must be clear that there is only one God. One. Please highlight one, underline one. God is one. There is no other God. Our God is the only God. Both the Old Testament and Old and New Testaments make this abundantly clear. Isaiah 45:5 says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. 1 Corinthians 8:4 says, there is no God but one. In the whole universe, there is only one true God. The God who has a good pleasure, will, eternal, purpose, and economy is one. Please highlight purpose. He has a purpose. The God who chose us and predestinated us is one. The God who created the heavens and the earth and man for his purpose is one. The God who loves man is one. Loves, please highlight love, love. The God who became incarnated to die for us so that we might be redeemed, forgiven, washed, justified, and reconciled is one. The God who resurrected to be our life, circle, highlight, to regenerate, sanctify, transform, conform, and glorify us is one. We only have one God, not two, not three, or many, but one. And then Roman 2, God being triune. Please highlight triune, triune. Father, Son, and Spirit. Although our God is one, there is something mysterious about him. He is three, one, or triune. In Latin, tri means three, un means one. That is why we call him the triune God. Okay, brothers and sisters, I think that's enough for my introduction. I hope you remember these two things. When we come to the true school, open your heart every meeting. Use your spirit, firstly, to confess your sins, and then to reach out in fellowship with God. And then I hope you remember these five words. I'm going to pick on Cindy one more time. Cindy, you with me? To lead the sisters again. The five words. Go ahead.
Amen. One, purpose, love, life, triune.
Amen. I hope in the group time, you all can say something about this. I want to give you two assignments. Oh, and Greater Boston, please get ready. I think you know ahead of time. We're going to sing hymn 608, verse 1, just verse 1 and the chorus. Please do it a couple of times and maybe the chorus one extra time. This is a great song on the triune God. So get that ready. But I just want to give you these two assignments for your group time, if you have time. Firstly, read the last paragraph of the lesson book and chapter one. Please read the last paragraph and the summary. That is the summary. Read the paragraph before the summary and the summary. The paragraph before the summary and the summary as a kind of conclusion. And then with these five words, I hope somebody can try to put the five words together in a few sentences just to summarize the point of this message. Okay? See if you could do that. Just two or three sentences. Like just repeat, but use the five words. Actually, if you do this, you have a little gospel message ready to share with people. Okay, I'll send it over to Greater Boston. Please help us. Thank you. In 608.
The Father, Son, and Spirit in person.
Ah!